Well, John 15, and I'm going to continue talking about being fruitful, fruitfulness. You know, I think when we talk about this, then we meditate upon it. We need to have our minds upon it. You know, there's so many things that capture our attention. I'll kind of digress a second. You've heard me tell, we've been calling in and confessing, you know, where you've planted seed, you can expect a harvest. Because that's seed time and harvest, and that principle is a spiritual principle. And so where we've planted seed, we can expect to harvest, but then we need to call it in or we need to receive it. And so God will give us instructions on how to do that. So he's revealed to us, and of course, you know, Pastor Clinton received before they even went into the ministry. He received a word from the Lord, and then he was actually a word received and uttered to him by Brother Copeland in a public setting. It said, the people will come and the money will come. And he always tells the story, what people and what money? Because I'm not even in the ministry. What are you talking about? So those things sometimes that God reveals are not for now. And digressing even again, I heard something that Pastor Hagen shared. We didn't go out to Winter Bible Seminar, but I was watching the stream, and he shared something. He was sharing one of the evenings, I believe it was Thursday evening, when he was talking about the school and Rhema Day and so forth. And he began, he said, I'm going to share this prophecy that my dad gave. And he said, if you'll notice through the years, we never publish prophecies in the Word of Faith magazine. And yet there were many given and received by Brother Hagen. And that was Brother Hagen's call. He said, my dad did not want them printed because he said most of the prophecies given are not for now. And then people can take them and run off and think they're for now and then get, you know, misinterpreted. So I say all that to say that, you know, when Pastor Clinton got that word, it wasn't for then, right then. And so sometimes we get a direction and word from the Lord. It's not for right now, but it is a direction. And we need not just put it aside and go, well, I guess he didn't mean that. Oh, yeah, he did. It's just not for right now. And you need to put it on the shelf. If God's spoken some things to you concerning your life or what you're going to do, don't be discouraged. Just put it on the shelf and keep trusting God. Believe that it shall come to pass. Don't be weary in well-doing. But it shall come to pass. And so, I was sharing something today with Pastor Greg and kind of talks about fruitfulness here, so I'll just share it because it's in my heart. But you've heard me share a few times about how the Lord told me when I was in a time of prayer when I was young or younger. I'm still young, but I was younger. I'll tell you, sometimes I wake up, I feel so good, I feel like I'm 19. No aches, no nothing. So I just feel good. I don't run as fast as I was 19, so you know that. But when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So I began to do that. And the Lord, I missed it because he said, buy Apple stock. I didn't buy it when it was 40. I have to take a deep breath because it went up to 700. So I have to take a deep breath because it helps me. Because he was trying to get and fulfill what I was confessing, which was, I call money in. So he was trying to do that. He was trying to help me. And so I was sharing something today with Pastor Greg that we've been calling in the people. I have. I don't know about you, but I have. And I do it almost every day. I command the people to come to Redeeming Love Christian Center because we have a harvest that's due this ministry. Why? Because we planted. And so the Lord spoke something to me as I was coming back from the gym this morning. This is exactly just about what he said. He said, when I told you to call in finances, he said, I gave you a way. And he said, the same way that you're calling in the people, I'm giving you a way. Now, I'm going to expand the story. When I went home last night, we had a leadership meeting. So I got home. I had all good intentions of going to the gym. Though it was late, it was 10:30, quarter 11, I said, okay, I'll go to the gym, work out for about a half an hour, 45 minutes, so I'll get home before midnight. Well, anyways, I'm sitting there and I decided, let me just look at my Facebook feed and let me look. So there was an ad that caught my attention. And before I know it, I look up, I said, forget the gym. And it was 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning. I'm looking at one thing after another and it led me down a path. And I got so excited because of this method, which is Facebook. And a lot of us, we think, okay, you know, we look at it one way. But what we don't realize, and this is what the Lord said, he said, I'm showing you a way to reach the people. He said, you're calling in the people, and I'm showing you a way. Just like Brother Hagin used to say, one way, he always, how many times do you ever hear him used to say that? One way, not the only way, that God heals. Well, God was showing me a way to reach people. I don't know if you know, maybe I'll just take this time and digress just for a minute. Is that all right? It's all right anyways. I'm up here. I'm on the mic. Here are the statistics. 68% of U.S. adults are on Facebook. 70% of this community is most likely looking at Facebook, has a Facebook account. And so I was looking at this particular ad, and it got me over into looking into their website and so forth. But his point was this. This is Christians now. This is a Christian organization, Christian perspective. He said, a lot of people think, well, you know, the internet is, you know, it's for the young people, and it's for, you know, the youth and the youth pastor. And he said, no, it's for you, pastor. He said, because, you know, your pastor will say, well, it's not for me. He said, I just want to reach people. That is a tool to reach people. And so he said, I'll give you an example, because in this, I watched this, or not watched, I listened to this podcast for almost an hour. And this year, he was interviewing a person that does this for a living, and he gave four case studies. Works with churches, hundreds of churches. And he gave four case studies from very small churches to very large, and the effectiveness of putting ads, targeted ads, across Facebook by area, by zip code, by whatever. They know where you are. If you're on Facebook, they know who you are. And so what is it? He said, forget spending money for mailers, it's a waste of money. Doing advertisement on television and radio is a waste of money. He said, I'll give you an example. He said, here was a church. It was a church of 120. He said they spent $78 on Facebook ad, and on one Sunday they had 46 new visitors. I'll give you another one. Large church. He didn't say where it was. They were church of 6,000. And he said their target, and I'm not clear on what reach and target is, but he said their reach was 500,000 homes. He said they targeted 198,000 households. And of those 198,000, because they know when you click to watch, you pay, so in other words, if I'm paying, I pay per click. He said 28,000 clicked. And they ran this ad for 3 weeks, 2 days a week, and then they ran an event for two consecutive weeks, a Friday, Saturday. They had over 2,000 salvations of people that responded and came to the church and got saved. And you know what it cost them? $2,500 to send out or to pay for 28,000 clicks. So the point is that God is putting in your lap a tool to reach the lost. And it is so powerful. He said, every pastor, every person, you need to be on Facebook Live to share the gospel. You've got something to say. Yeah, there's all kinds of goofy stuff going on, but it is a powerful tool to reach people. Look, the devil is taking every opportunity to put up garbage that hook people that are tempted with stuff. Why not, with the gospel, use a tool that can be streamed selectively down a Facebook feed and reach people that are struggling and lost and looking for an answer? That's foolish not to take advantage. And so I share all that to say that is a way that we can be fruitful. It is a way, and very effective. Very, very effective. So I share that. If it doesn't excite you, it excited me because I couldn't hardly sleep. I had to go to sleep, but I said I got to lay down and go to sleep. But it was charged me and excited me. So, glory to God. There's tools that we need to be wise how we use. Amen. John 15. I am the true vine, this is Jesus here, and my Father is the husbandman or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So you can see here that a branch is to do what? Bear fruit. But it must stay connected to the vine. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Ye have not chosen me, but I have... verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So you can see here, the Lord not only just expects, but he requires that we do what? Produce fruit. It's not just about getting saved and, you know, we would say die and go to heaven. It's more than that. It's that we get saved and do what? Produce fruit. And that's what you can see here. He says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I like what the Voice translation says. It says, you did not choose me. I chose you and I orchestrated all of this. So that, why did he orchestrate it? It says, so that you would be sent out and bear great and perpetual fruit. I like this. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, you did not choose me. I chose you, and I have commissioned you. I like that word. You're commissioned. You know, when we think about that, you know, when you think this word, just in the dictionary, the word commission means authority to act for. So we've been authorized and commissioned to go out in his name to do what? Produce fruit. And not just any kind of fruit, fruit that remains, spiritual fruit. So we need to think about everything that we do, everything we set my hands to. Is this going to produce fruit? Because when you look at the scripture... And I'll turn over there and look at this for a second here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. This page is stuck. I know I wasn't chewing gum. What's going on here? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, every man's work shall be... Well, let me back up to verse 12. Now, if any man... verse 11. For other foundation no man lay... No man can lay, then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. So that means everything that we do, the work that we do, the stuff that we do that we say for we're doing for Christ, it's going to be tested and tried by fire. And what we don't want to do is get through our whole life and you've spent your entire life doing something and it's burnt up. But we don't want that. Certainly that's not our intention. So God chooses us and orchestrates and commissions us to go out and to do what? Produce fruit. And fruit that remains. So that's why I'm excited when you hear me kind of digress and talk about we should be thinking, how do I reach people? Because you go into grocery stores, you go shopping. I know you like to shop. So everybody you interact with, you don't like to shop? Okay, somebody shook their head, they don't like to shop. I'm going to pray for liars. because I know you like to shop. Huh? You don't like to shop? Okay. Well, this is the wrong group then. Okay. See? Okay, so maybe that wasn't the right thing. You like to eat. Okay, so you got to eat, right? So there's a server, right? We all like to eat, some of us more than we should, right? But whatever it is, you go into a restaurant, somebody's serving your food, right? So there's somebody you're interacting with in this earth, and we have opportunities either on our job, in a restaurant, in a clothing store, somewhere, a department store. We have opportunities to share the good news of the gospel with somebody, right? If you're a teacher or somebody, you have opportunities to share the gospel. And so that's what God is doing. He's commissioned us. You know, sometimes we think commissioned means, okay, well, that must mean this type of person. No, it's everybody. He said every branch. that doesn't, you know, say it's just the preacher or the youth worker or somebody else. It's every branch. That's all of us. So we all are commissioned to go produce fruit. I like what the Phillips translation said. It says, "You must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you, for just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life of the vine, so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me." Where's the life? There's a translation. Let me find it here. Let me just see here. Yeah, it's the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. It says, "Maintain a living communion with me, and I with you. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source." So the branch can't produce something as a source. What's the source? The vine. So the life is in the vine. And that's the source of the life to the branch that can produce the fruit. And so for us to continue to produce perpetual fruit, fruit that remains, there must be a continual connection to the vine, or a maintaining a living communion with the vine. That's what it says. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source, unless it remains in a living union with the vine, so neither you unless you maintain a living communion with me. So we cannot, and this is what I was sharing Sunday, that this is one of the reasons why when you look at John 15, when it says, "If a man abide not in me," or he does not maintain a living communion, you could say it that way, "he is cast forth as a branch and is withered." So when we don't maintain a living communion with God, we become withered, I was saying, weak, and worn out. So it's important for us, if we're going to produce wisdom and fruit for God, there has to be maintained a living communion. Otherwise, you become weak, and you don't produce. Amen. Now, I want to look and expand a little bit here tonight. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we shared this on Sunday, or we asked the question. One of the things that we ask the question, what is it that you have that you can't get back? Or what's precious of yours that you want, once you use it, you can't get back? Time. So time, for us, when you think about this, your life is represented by time. right? You say my life, it represents time. There's a beginning and there's an end, right? So that it represents a space of time. And so as you're spending time, you can't get it back once it's spent. Once you use it, that's it. So it's a valuable commodity because it represents something that we have that we can produce something with, right? If we use it, what? Wisely. So Ephesians chapter 5, and let's start reading in verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be therefore partakers with them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but what does it say? But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the what? Say it again. Unfruitful works of darkness. So we can see here that darkness is going to be, no connection with God is going to be what? Unfruitful. So anything that has any darkness in it is not going to be fruitful, is it? So you could almost look at this scripture here. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then he goes on to talk about walking in the light. You could really say the fruit of the light. Could say the same thing. So here, it goes on and it says, verse 11 again, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise, doing what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore, says it again, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Say redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And so that's just what I wanted to look at, a few scriptures here on redeeming the time. What are we doing with our time? Because time that we have is precious. And it's must be precious for the Spirit of God to have Paul write about it. Would you not agree? And so here it says, don't be a fool, But be wise. Then he talks about redeeming the time. How are we going to be able to know how to redeem the time? Tells you right here. Be wise. Where is wisdom coming from? From God. And that wisdom is going to come by maintaining a living communion with Him. So when we don't have that living communion, then you can be apt to be doing things that are unwise, right? And so you can end up wasting time and not being wise with your time. And so here, when it talks about here that we're to produce fruit, a part of that is reaching the lost. When I thought about this particular scripture here, I'm trying to think where it was over here. It was in John. I'll just read it. You don't have to go back, but it kind of got me to thinking here. In verse 16. And John 15. And it got me to thinking about in 16. He says, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go." What does Mark 16 say? Go. Go ye, right? So it got me to thinking about when John 15, 16, some of the other translations, it says, "I have orchestrated, I have commissioned you, I've authorized you to do what? Go." Go what? Go and produce fruit. Make ye what? Disciples of all men. So here, this is our commission. We always talk about the commission of the church. This is it right here. He's chosen us. He's appointed us. He's orchestrated it. He's appointed us. He's anointed us to do what? Go. Not just be busy. See, yes, we all have responsibilities. We have to get up. We have to clean up. We have house chores. We've got all of that. We know that. But He's saying here, be not unwise, but wise, so that you can do what? Redeem the time. And so that's all I'm saying is this is, I'm preaching this just to, as much, if it's not you, I'm preaching this to me. Is that all right? So I have to preach this to me. I have to redeem the time and not be unwise with my time. I have to think about, okay, I'm going over here. I'm going to spend 3 or 4 hours or a half a day doing this. Is this a good use of my time? You need to ask those questions. Because I'm saying all of that because time is necessary by the body of Christ to reach the thousands that God is going to send. And when you go, "I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that." Oh, really? Then we're being foolish with our time. Could be. I'm not saying you are, but you could be. So we need to, in this season that we're in, we need to look at and evaluate, what are we doing with our time? Am I just snoozing all day? Am I cruising through the day and not thinking about that? What am I doing with my time? And I have to ask that. So it excited me because when the Lord spoke that to me, and I've been making a strong effort almost every day, calling the people. And God is giving a method and a tool how to do it. But it's going to take some time to put into it, and it's going to take some effort. So then what happens? I've got to make myself, and someone else has got to make themselves available. God will only work with people who make themselves available. Amen goes right there. So I know I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to people that will listen to this. But we all need to, and even if we are, you know, again, what does the scripture say? It says, if the branch is producing fruit, then that means we're all in this. We're all together in this, because this doesn't exclude me. We're all producing fruit. This means also then we need to be pruned so that we can do what? Produce more fruit. So that means we all can look and say, okay, how am I using my time? Is it the best use of my time? Lord, help me. Prune me if I need to be pruned. Show me where I'm using my time unwisely. I'll make myself available. Amen. So you can see here, so we can see here. Now, let me just show, make this point out here. You can look it up for yourself. You can look these words up. But this word here in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, when it says redeeming the time. Now, if you just look this up, you look it up in the dictionary, we know what the word redeem means. It means to purchase or to buy back. It means to save from loss. There's another definition that says by payment of a price to recover from the power of another, to ransom. This same word redeem or redeeming, this Greek word in Ephesians chapter 5 is the same word redeemed in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bought us. He paid for our salvation. So what is he saying here? He's saying here we need to do what? Redeem. We have to redeem the time. That means save from loss. We have to save our time from loss. How are we going to do that? From his wisdom. We can't do it in our own ability. But we could lose time. You could lose your salvation if it hadn't been for Christ. He redeemed it. He paid for that. Same thing here. He's saying, be not unwise or foolish, but wise, redeeming the time. That means you need to purchase back from loss the unwise use of your time by his wisdom. Hallelujah. So we're to redeem the time. Say redeem the time.
Redeem the time.
Glory to God. Redeeming the time. So we're redeeming it from what? Redeeming it from loss or losing it. I could lose my time if I'm not wise. But he says, redeem it, capture it back. Find out from the Lord how to use the time. Here's a scripture. Think about this here. James 4:14. It says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. So he's saying, what's valuable here? Your life. Your life is just like a vapor. So your life represents time. You ever hear people say this? I have. I may have even said it myself before I was saved. What are you doing? I'm just killing time. You ever hear people say that? You probably do now on the job. What are you doing? I'm just killing time. You want to grab their mouth and just go, no, don't do that. Don't say that. So what are they doing? They're just throwing time away. They're just throwing time away. So the Lord expects something from our time, doesn't he not? Does he not? Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And look at verse 5. Verse 5 and 6. I'm going to read this from the King James, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, walk in what? Wisdom towards them that are without, doing what? But what is it going to take to do that? Wisdom. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amplified, it says, behave yourselves wisely, live prudently and with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing or buying up the opportunity. Seizing the opportunity. This is the Phillips translation. It says, be wise in your behavior towards non-Christians and make the best possible use of your time. Speak pleasantly to them, but never sentimentally, and learn to give a proper answer to every questioner. So we need to know what is important and how to use our time and not waste it. Time is something that once it's spent, can't get it back. We know that. So we need to find out what is valuable or important and what will happen. The wisdom of God will tell us. You know, I think about some of the things that were accomplished here in the ministry. And God, I think sometimes God, people think, well, you were special. No, I was available. I just made myself available. And God uses people who make themselves available. He already knows, think about this. God, by his son Jesus, he said, when we were yet dead in our sins, he did what? He died and he was raised from the dead and raised us up, caused us to be seated in heavenly places. But let me ask the question. If a person doesn't make themselves available and willing, will they be saved? No. Even though legally it's available to them, they have to be available and willing. And so it's the same thing here. There are things that God may want to get accomplished in and through a ministry, even in and through your home. But you've got to be willing and available. Otherwise, things go undone. They don't get accomplished. Things that he may want to reach, he'll use another ministry or another person to do it because we didn't make ourselves available. So it's something we need to pray about and consider. Being available doesn't mean we run around, do everything, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm available. Prompt me. Show me what to do. Use me. I'm available. Amen. Let's look at one more scripture, Ecclesiastes in chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And look at verses 5 and 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. In verse 5 it says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. I like that. And a wise man's heart discerneth, what kind of a man's heart? A wise man's heart discerneth both what? Time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, Whosoever observes the king's command will experience no harm, and a wise man's mind will know both when and what to do. For every purpose and matter has its right time and judgment. Although the misery and wickedness of man lies heavy upon him who rebels against the king. So, I wanted to bring that these thoughts out this evening to stay in a living communion with God so that we know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, so that we can produce more fruit. And we know how to use our time, that we can redeem our time. If we've wasted time in our life, well, your life's not over, right? We've all wasted time to some degree, doing things maybe we shouldn't, or not using our time effectively. But thank God we're still here. We're not 6 feet under. We're not in heaven. And so we have time still available that we can use effectively. But we need to be available and we need to ask God if we've wasted time. Say, Lord, forgive me for wasting time. I want to redeem it. Help me. Give me the wisdom of God to know how to use my time. And just like he showed me today on how a tool can be used to effectively reach people to do what? Produce more fruit. Hallelujah. Produce more fruit. And that's all he's saying. I'm not asking anybody, and certainly not proposing that anybody be negligent, quit their job, not be, you know, responsible at home, neglect their husband or spouse or children. We're not talking about that. We're talking about doing the things that you're responsible to do, but saying, Lord, I'd like to do something more productive, and he'll show you how to do that. You know, I look at Facebook enough to see that there are women and men that are not behind the pulpit that are reaching thousands and thousands of people through Facebook Live and have followings of thousands of people, and they're doing it from their home with their phone, and they're touching lives with the wisdom of God that he's imparting to them. So all I'm saying, I'm not telling anybody to do that, but I'm saying ask God how you can reach more people and be more productive for him and redeem the time. That's all we're saying with this, that we all can look and see, okay, how am I using my time? I want to reach more people. I want to be more productive, because I can tell you, what would you do if 5,000 people showed up at your doorstep? You ready? Or you're like, we got to get ready. Too late. Too late. You should have been ready. And so that's all I'm saying, that God has positioned us here in this area to reach people. And so we need to be asking ourselves, what can I do to help in that matter? Amen. Glory to God. Did you get anything on this? See, I'm going to share another thought as I close. And you've heard this, you know this, you see this. I know you've heard this. I've heard it. I don't know how many times. How many you have married couples, they have children, and when their children grow up and they leave the house, they look at each other and they go, I don't even know you anymore. I don't even know you anymore, because they've spent so much time apart from one another. And the time that they've, or another example is you have people working to make money, and they think that's important, but they're not asking God for wisdom on what really is important. And so what happens is, we see this up in Pennsylvania, where you have latchkey kids, the parents leave this particular gated community, they commute into New York City, they leave at 5 in the morning, they get back home at 8, and the kids are loose because they got to make money to maintain what they got, their stuff. And so what happens is, that which is important, really important, you're neglecting. You're neglecting your family. You're neglecting your kids. But yet in their eyes, they don't see it as neglecting. I'm making money to maintain this. But the most important thing, they're neglecting. And so that's what I'm saying, is that time is valuable, and we want to make sure that we're not neglecting something in the use of our time. We're fruit bearing's concerned and being fruitful. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for revealing and unfolding your thoughts and your ways to us. And Father, we look at each of ourselves. We look, and by your Spirit, we thank you that he's revealing and pricking our hearts and showing us where we can be more effective, where we can use our time more effectively, so that we can redeem the time, purchase back, buy back, get back time that we might have spent that we didn't have to, and we can use it for you. So Father, we thank you, and we make ourselves available to be used more for you. In Jesus' name, amen.